You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
Well, good morning. My name is Logan Brindle. I am the youth pastor here at St. Luke, and I am just thrilled to be kicking off our Advent series called the Advent Conspiracy. We are going to be on a four-week journey of rediscovering Christmas. This is week one, and we're going to be talking about worship fully. So I've lived in Kentucky now for about 2.5 years. And ever since I've gotten here, I've lived in Wilmore, Kentucky. And about 1.5 years ago, we had a supernatural event happen that came to be known as the outpouring. How many of you guys are familiar with that event? Most of us here, that's great. For anyone who is not familiar with it, there is a university in Wilmore called Asbury University. They have mandatory chapel services for their students a couple times throughout the week. And on February 8th of 2023, the only thing that was different about that chapel service is the students decided that once the service concluded, they wanted to continue worshiping. And so they worshiped for another hour, and then into the afternoon, and then well into the evening and the next day. And this worship continued for 14 days, for 2 full weeks. People were worshiping in Wilmore. Well, people came to realize that this was happening and that God was doing something there. And so we actually had 50,000 people come through our town of Wilmore, Kentucky. Only has about a population of 6,000. And so it really was an incredible 2 weeks. Those of us who live there, we've reflected back on that time and we've asked the big question, why? Why did this happen? I think there's two ways we can look at it. We could say, what were the people doing there? And the other, what was God doing there? So when we've thought about what the people were doing, every time I talk with people, one word really rises to the top, and that is desperation. People were desperate to meet with God. So desperate that they traveled across town and across state lines and across countries to come and meet with God in a small town in Kentucky because they heard that he was there and they wanted to meet him. And so I'm wondering this morning if you have ever experienced that desperation. Have you ever felt that longing, that deep desire to meet with God? Or maybe you find yourself experiencing that desperation this morning, desperate to meet with God. And if you have or if you do, I wonder if you can reflect with me for a moment and put your finger on what it is that you are desperate for. What specifically are you desperate for? I'm going to suggest it might be one or all of three things. You're desperate for joy, you're desperate for identity, and or you're desperate for purpose. You want to feel joy. You want to know who you are. Someone tell me who I am. And you want to know your purpose and what God has for you here on this earth. And that second question was, what was God doing? Well, God was doing way more than I could claim to describe to you here this morning in those 14 days. But something that he was doing for me, I know, and for others as well, is he was teaching us how to worship. He was teaching us how to worship him. I think that in worship, those desperations that we feel for joy and identity and purpose, God can meet us right there in worship. We're going to be learning about worship this morning from the story of the Magi, or you may know them as the wise men. We're going to learn from their example of worship. So if you will, listen to the story from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So in this story, we see the Magi find Jesus and worship him. Well, this morning, we're going to learn from that example. There are three things that we can learn about worship. When they found Jesus, they were overjoyed. When they found Jesus, they knelt down and worshiped him. And third, when they found Jesus, they opened their treasures. Now, before we dive into that, I think it's critical that when we talk about worship, we first determine what and who we are worshiping. Because if we are honest, we are quite tempted to worship things other than God. Things that cannot meet those desperations of our soul. Just a couple weeks ago, I was with the youth, and we were talking about idols. And I asked them to make a list of what some of these things can be today. And they were on top of it. They said money, fame, power, celebrities, success, status, and ourselves. And this was an easy list to come up with because we see it. We see it all around us. We're tempted by it ourselves. And so when we talk about worship this morning, we must say that the person that we're worshiping is Christ Jesus the King. He is the only one who is worthy of our worship. And he is so worthy of our worship. And so with that in mind, we can continue talking about how the wise men worshiped him. And it's good to notice, too, why were the wise men worshiping this young boy, Jesus? Well, we see in our text in verse 2, they say, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews?" They knew a Messiah was coming. They knew a Savior was coming for the people of Israel. And when they saw that star, they said, that's him. He is the one worthy of our worship. And there was a prophecy that they knew well. It said, out of Bethlehem will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Finally, he is here and we are going to go and worship him. So when the Magi found Jesus, they were overjoyed. Did you know that you can experience joy in worship, even being overjoyed in worship? Is this something that you long for, something that you experience? I think there are many reasons why we can experience joy in worship. One of them is that in a day like today, it is quite difficult to, for me personally, to be focused on just one thing, okay? I spend my whole day, I feel like, fighting distractions, whether it's texts, email, social media, something I'm worried about, something I'm anxious about, or comparing myself to somebody else. All day, I'm fighting off distractions. But in worship, we focus on only one thing. And we know in that moment that our attention is being given to the right thing, It's being given to the one who is worthy of our attention. So we can find joy in worship, first because when we worship, we're focused on just one thing, and we get to receive the full benefits of that experience of worship, and that is joy. Another reason we experience joy in worship is because worship is a time in our day when we remind ourselves of the good news of the gospel. We remember that God sent his Son to die for us while we were still sinners, so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That is good news, and that changes everything. So if I take a moment to worship once a day, and I focus my attention solely on God, and I remember the good news of the gospel, that I have been saved even while I was a sinner, so that I who believe will not perish but have eternal life. That is good news, and there is joy to be found there. Another reason I think we can experience joy in worship is because is whenever I remind myself that there all the things that God has saved me from. And so maybe this list is something that you can relate to. Maybe your list looks a little bit different. But I remember in worship that God has saved me from my sin. He saved me from the way that I hurt myself and the way that I hurt others. And he has redeemed me from so much. And he is so faithful to continue redeeming me. He has saved me from my sin, and that brings me joy. Another thing he saved me from is from anxiety. While I still feel it, I know he is greater than it. Because of the truth of the gospel, I know he is greater than my anxiety. He's also saved me from thinking that I need to save the world, because he's already done it. He loves this world and loves every person so much more fully and so much more perfectly than we ever could. He is the Savior of the world, and he is the one in control. And so in worship, we can find joy by singularly focusing on God, remembering the good news of the gospel, and remembering those things that he has saved us from. When we worship like the wise men, we can find joy, and God will meet that desperation that we have. Lord, we want to feel joy in our times of mourning or in the mundaneness of this world. Lord, we want to feel joy, and he will meet us there in worship. Second, when the wise men found Jesus, they knelt down and worshiped. I think this example is an invitation to us. It's an invitation for us to enter a posture of prayer and humility whenever we worship. So this can look like many things. It might mean bowing your head, your chin to your chest. It could mean lifting your hands out. It could be getting down on your knees, or for others, it might be laying down straight across the ground, entering a posture of humility and prayer whenever we worship. And you might ask, why would I do this? Why do that? Well, I think there's a couple reasons. First, whenever we humble our bodies, our mind and our heart and our bodies are in agreement with one another that I am not God. God is God. He is the one who is worthy of worship. He is the one who is holy, who is the perfect Father. And he's different than I am. He is set apart. And whenever we enter a posture of humility, our heart and our mind and our bodies agree that God is the one worthy of worship. It also reminds us of our identity in Christ. If he is the perfect Father, that makes me his daughter. And now I remember that my identity is that of a child of God. And so whenever we humble ourselves, we remember that we have been called sons and daughters of the King. This is great news. I'm an heir to the King. I have an inheritance because of what Christ has done. And so whenever we worship like the wise men, and we kneel down and worship in front of Jesus, we find that agreement between our heart and our head and our bodies that, God, you are God, the perfect Father, and I am your child, and that is my primary identity. And so I want to invite us this morning into a time of worship. This is the perfect time to do it while we are here together, and that you could bow your head with me or put your hands out. And we're gonna pray together, and I'm gonna invite you to sing with me too, a song of holiness to God, proclaiming how holy He is. And as we do this, reflect on that consistency between heart, head, and body. So if you will, bow your head and put your hands out. You're welcome to get on your knees. And we will pray, and I will also invite you to sing. We're gonna say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now sing with me.
Alleluia. Alleluia. For the Lord God Almighty, He reigns. Alleluia. Alleluia. For the Lord God Almighty, He reigns. You are holy, holy are You, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. You are holy, holy are You, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb.
Whenever we enter a posture of humility in worship, our head and our heart and our bodies agree that God is the only one who is worthy of worship. And we are well on our way to worship whenever we position ourselves at the feet of King Jesus and remember our identity. When we worship, God meets one of those deepest desperations of ours, which is to know who we are. And when we worship like the wise men by posturing ourselves in humility, God reminds us of our identity. And third, when they found Jesus, they opened up their treasures. You'll be familiar with these treasures: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These were gifts for a king. These were kingly gifts. I think we see such this incredible contrast in this story, where Herod is just pining for power. He's pining to be honored. And the Magi are like, no, there's a young boy over here. He is the one worthy of our worship. We are going to give him these gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh because we know who he is. And he is the one who is worthy of worship. And so I think what we can take from this morning, that they gave the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh, is that Jesus is worthy of everything that we have. He is worthy of our grand gestures, and He's worthy of what we see as small and mundane. He is worthy of all of it. So some of the ways for us to think about this morning is whenever people join the Methodist Church, they're asked, will you give your time, your presence, your gifts, and your service, and your prayers? And so I'm wondering, what would it look like for you this morning to give your time to God and worship, your prayers to God and worship this Christmas season, your gifts to God and worship? and your treasures to God in worship. Another way that I like to think about opening up our treasures to God is that we are, every part of our day can be worship. The very mundane, the daily routines, it can all be worship. There's this incredible book called The Liturgy of the Ordinary, written by Tish Harrison Warren. And what she's saying is that the very ordinary parts of our life are actually sacred. And so whenever we realize that these parts of our day can be worship, then we are handing over our treasures to God in the small and in the big ways. To kind of paint this picture of what worshiping God in the ordinary can look like, I want to read off the chapter titles from that book. Waking up, making the bed, brushing teeth, losing keys, eating leftovers, fighting with my husband, checking email, sitting in traffic, calling a friend, drinking tea, and sleeping. Yes, even eating leftovers and checking our email is an opportunity for worship throughout our day. And God is inviting us into this kind of worship, to opening up our treasures for Him who is worthy of them. And whenever we do, He will do more than we can ask or think or imagine with the treasures that we give Him. He will do more than we could imagine with our small and our grand gestures, because He can and He loves to. And when that happens, it's quite often that we find our purpose. We find our purpose whenever we hand over the treasures that God has already entrusted us with. We hand them back over to Him and put them at His feet. And then we see Him do more with it than we could have ever asked, and we find our purpose. And so whenever we worship like the wise men, we are overjoyed. We kneel down in worship, and we open up our treasures. Whenever I was growing up, my dad played guitar on the porch a good bit, and I just loved watching him play, and I started to enjoy singing with him. And after a while, I said, "Hey, could you teach me some chords?" And he said, yeah. So he taught me some chords on the guitar, and I just kind of ran with it. Like, I loved it. I thought it was so fun. I would spend all my afternoons playing. And then when I was 13, our church needed a worship leader. And, you know, week in, week out, they were having interim people come in. They couldn't find anyone to commit. And so after a while, my dad looks at me and he's like, "Logan, we could audition. Like, how hard can it be, you know?" And, well, you know, it can be. But it was an example. He was being an example to me. And he encouraged me to lay down a small gift that we had for God to use. And so they led us up there for 1 week, and then 2 weeks, and then 10 weeks. And then I started leading almost every Sunday. And now it's been many years, and it has been such a meaningful part of my walk with the Lord and such a meaningful part of my purpose. And so it was just handing over that small gift like my dad encouraged us to, and then I've seen God do so much more with it. And little did I know that 10 years later, I would live in the middle of nowhere town of Wilmore, no offense, and God was going to do a supernatural thing. He was going to come, and people were going to worship Him for 14 days. And a pinnacle of that experience was worship. So come, day 8, they needed more worship leaders. And I get a text and it says, "Hey, Logan, could you come and lead worship in 40 minutes? Don't bring a set list. You probably won't know who you're playing with, but just come ready to worship." And, I don't think there was anything that could have really prepared me for that experience. It certainly wasn't my own worthiness, that allowed me to be there. Rather, it was God's constant and slow equipping, His faithfulness with those small things that we hand over, that I, you know, had the privilege of entering into the most sacred week of my life, spending that time with the Lord as others did too. And so God can do more than we ask or think or imagine with the gifts that we hand over. When we worship like the wise men, if we do it like them, when we find Jesus, we'll be overjoyed. When they found Jesus, they knelt down and they worshiped him. And when they found Jesus, they opened up their treasures. And God has been faithful to meet us in worship, and God will be faithful to meet you in worship. That desperation for joy, we can find it in worship. When we singularly focus on God, remembering the truth of the gospel and remembering the things that he has saved us from. And we can find our identity whenever we remember that we are children of God, honored to sit at the feet of the King. This is who we are. Our primary identity is that of a child of God. And we can find our purpose. He has given us all the tools. If we hand them over, we will see him do more than we could imagine with them. We have an excellent example in the wise men of what worship can look like when we find Jesus. So this Christmas season, I'm challenging each of you to take time every single day to worship like this. Worship with joy. Kneel down or find a posture of humility before God in worship and open up your treasures to him. Every day, once a day, this Christmas season, worship God. Because he is the true King, worthy of all of our worship. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much that you have come and met us here. Lord, that you invite us into worshiping you. That in itself is a privilege, Lord, to sit at the feet of the King, to speak with the King, to hear from the King. And thank you that you bring us joy, you call us your children, and you give us purpose in worship. Lord, this Christmas season, if we feel like there isn't time to be still and worship you, Lord, will you call us anyways? And if we find ourselves distracted, Lord, will you call us anyways? And if we have treasures that we want to keep to ourselves, Lord, will you say, come higher? Come higher. Call us anyways to lay these things down, because we know that the joy and the identity and the purpose that you have for us is greater than what we could ask or think or imagine. Lord, you are the one who is worthy of our praise, and we thank you that you meet us in worship. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.